God has given me a wee message tonight, and it's a message that's going to be a blessing to your heart tonight. It's a lovely truth that every broken heart needs to hear. Do you know there's people all around us tonight, and they're living with broken hearts? Broken for many different reasons. Do you know, friends, tonight when you're in the ministry, you can soon come across people who have got broken hearts. A smile on their face. Smiles on their faces, but hearts broken. Now I have a lovely text tonight. Now I wonder tonight, are you here with a broken heart? People everywhere with broken hearts. A young boy's heart is broken because the girl he loves rejects his love. A wee girl's heart is broken because of the boy that she loves is rejected. And tonight, there's many with broken hearts. So much so, there are many today who are afraid of love. I was speaking to a gentleman this week, even in the midst of a family tragedy that we had. We sat down together and he began to share with me a great fear that he had. It was a fear of love. Because of an incident that happened in his life, his heart was broken. And he says to me, there is nothing more powerful than love, and nothing can hurt more like love. I says, that's right, sir, that's right. Especially when it's the world's love. And I explained to him, I said to him, listen, sir, the world will love you as long as you can give the world what it wants. The world will love you. And the world will love you as long as you can give what the world wants. But as soon as, friend, you can, then the world turns its back on you. Wonder if that was wrong with you tonight. You've been hurt by love this evening. Why do you think so many of our young people tonight are turning to drink? Why do you think they're turning to drugs? Listen, don't you condemn them. There go any of us in this meeting this evening, but for the grace of God, don't you condemn them. You pray for them. And you love them. They're the people tonight that have got breaking hearts. Those are the ones this evening that have got aching hearts tonight. Listen, they don't need criticized, they need prayed for. Need prayed for. Wonder are you here in this meeting tonight? And you're saying to your heart, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Do you know tonight we're living in a society, and no matter where you are, no matter where you live, where I live, there is people tonight so broken, they believe there's no point of living. And their heart tells them there's no point in living. You know something else? There's people tonight, and their heart is telling them that they're better off dead. I had a phone call one time from a businessman. A very blessed businessman because he's a Christian. Good friend of mine. He rang me one day in desperation because his 41-year-old son was about to take his own life. And He was about to take it when his wife walked into the bedroom. She forgot her purse. And in 2 seconds, it would have all been over. He says, "Will you go and see him?" I says, "I will, of course, go and see him and help him if I can." Do you know what he believed? Life wasn't worth living any longer. He's been hurt too many times. But tonight, God has a message for us. That every broken heart needs to hear. And listen to me tonight. It does involve love. And here's a text tonight that every person can quote. And it doesn't matter tonight whether you're in the gutters of sin. You can quote this verse. It doesn't matter tonight how religious you are, you can quote this verse. It's a verse that every unsaved person can quote tonight. Even the most wickedest of terrorists that roamed this land in days gone by, they can still quote it. They can still quote it. Do you know where you'll find it? You'll find it in the Bible. And you'll find it tonight in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And you'll find it in chapter number 2. Now you take your time and you find it, because I want you to see this tonight. It's in black and white. Now, Galatians chapter number 2. Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter number 2 tonight. And this is what he says. Paul says in verse number 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now here's my text. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know that's a text tonight that every IRA man can quote? The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's a text that every drunkard can quote. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's a text tonight that every broken life on the streets of Ballymena can quote. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Sinners need to be told this tonight. Sinners need to see this tonight. Unsaved person in this meeting tonight, here's something that God wants you to know tonight. The Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. I want you to notice, first of all, it's an undeniable love. Because I want you to see tonight who's the one, who it is that loves you. It's the Son of God tonight, the Son of God. You know, friend, those words tonight spell the greatest sense of love tonight. The Son of God loved me. This is not the world's love. This is not a love that loves you because you love him. No. This is a love that really loves you in spite of who you are. It's a love tonight that really loves you in spite of what you are. This is a love tonight that knows no boundaries whatsoever. Thank God tonight, there is no love like the love of Jesus. An unsaved friend tonight, unsaved friend, boys, if you can get this tonight, no matter what we've done, the Son of God loves you tonight. 1951, A gentleman who attended a gospel meeting in Germany. And this man was no ordinary man. He was a ruthless, and he was a wicked, and a cruel, and he was an evil, evil, evil man in the concentration camp of Sobibor. He was known for his wickedness, well known for his evilness and cruelness. And in the year of 1951, in a gospel meeting, some man at the door was handing out little slips of paper going in. And friend, on that little slip of paper was the text that I'm quoting to you tonight. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that man looked at that piece of paper. And the thought and the great truth, friend, it broke his heart. He says, God couldn't love me. God couldn't love me. God couldn't love me for what I've done. God couldn't love me because of the wickedness of my heart. And the preacher got up that evening, and he preached from that great text, "For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That big man was broken under such conviction of sin. He just fell at his pew where he sat in floods of tears. And he was led to Christ. He was arrested for his war crimes. And he was executed. And he went to the execution chamber. He says, "I go with peace in my heart. I get what I deserve. But I go with peace in my heart, because I am going to be with the one who loves me and gave himself for me." Now listen, love, you mightn't be cruel and evil and wicked. You could be the best person about Billy that anybody could ever be. But that means Jesus doesn't love you any less. And friend, this evening, you can't deny this love tonight. In Calvary's cross, that love is displayed in all its fullness. Every person tonight can look to the cross and say, "The Son of God who loved me." I remember the night when I got saved. I worked for a man called Derek Lone, the local Nissan dealer in Auchnacloy. Do you know, at every mission I tell this story, I told him the last day I was in with him, "Do you know, I think I'm entitled to a new Nissan Qashqai because I have advertised him around the country that much." And he plagued and pleaded with me to go to this mission. Do you know, he was like a politician, he would have sickened you. I didn't say an MLA, for they do nothing. And he would have sickened you and rhymed on you, "Go to the mission." And this went on and on and on and on, until me and three others went to the mission. Went on the Thursday night. The three lads and me went in, and, well, I wasn't in too fussed and going in. I think I told you here one other night. I remember about 6 weeks before I became a Christian, I was sitting in Ivan Kearns' pub in Auchnacloy. We called him Curly for a head and a hair in his head. That's what we called him, Curly. Not for too long you'd be calling me Curly. And I was sitting drinking two bottles of Tennent's in a pint glass. And all of a sudden the thought hit me, is this life? Is it? Is this life eating, sleeping, working, eating, sleeping, working, eating, sleeping? Is that it? And suddenly my life became empty, meaningless. And as this mission came, first week it was Ballygully Presbyterian Church, then it came to the Church of Ireland in Auchnacloy. We went this Thursday night because Derek Lone had sickened me. I ran out of excuses. Listen tonight, don't you be taking no for the first answer. You keep going. If you're asking people, you keep going. You're looking at a man tonight who was sickened by a man inviting me to the mission. And thank God he didn't give up. I ran out of excuses. And Norman Marshall, who drove me here on Sunday night, along with Mark Beatty and his twin brother Noel, the four of us went off to Ballygully in the Vauxhall Chevette. Do you remember the Vauxhall Chevette? I think of it now. Boys are boys. The first thing comes into my head is chitty, chitty, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. And off we went. And the three boys who I was with went into the mission. And I said, there's no way I'm going in. No way am I going in. And to cut the long story short, they got me talked in and got me roped in and going in anyway, and I went in. And this group got up to sing. And it was as if God had pulled the earplugs out of my heart. And suddenly as if God took the blindfold away from my mind, or from my heart, because suddenly I began to hear things, see things that made me realize this is what's wrong with me. That night, Norman Marshall, Noel Beatty, and Mark Beatty went forward to get counsel to that mission. And I went to get counsel because I had no left home. Not that I wanted to get saved, but I'll tell you, I wanted no more. Couldn't wait till the Friday night, couldn't wait to get back, but yet I felt the tugging heart of God speaking to my heart. Then it came to the Church of Ireland. My own church. I was born and brought up in the Church of Ireland. I came to the mission to my own church, and the preacher was the Reverend Brenton McCarthy. And he spoke that night in John 14:6. And that night before I went into that mission, I knew I was for getting saved. I knew it. And I wasn't in a shirt and tie. I remember that night well. I come in, it was a wild, wet night. I was soaked to the skin, an old UDR jumper, a pair of trousers on me, and a pair of Dr. Martin boots. Remember the Dr. Martin boots? Do you remember them? Remember them? Took you half an hour putting them on, an hour and a half to get them off. Desperate. And I had a wee pack of the devil's dummy tits in my pocket. You know what the devil's dummy tit is, don't you? A wee 6-inch wide bit of paper, with a wee bit of tobacco wrapped up in it, and a fire burning at one end, and a fool puffing at the other. And remember that night, John 14:6. And that night I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he made me glad. Glory to God. When I heard that night how he loved me. When I heard that night how he died for me. When I heard that night how much he suffered for me. I could have turned him away. Oh, no, friend, I want to tell you tonight he loves you. It's an undeniable love. But it was a sacrificial love. Will you take a good look at that? It says, and the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, this love is a proven love. Do you see tonight, if you tell somebody you love them, you've got to prove it. You've got to prove it. I remember on the 4th of March, 1988. I was at a place one night and I happened to turn around just like that and I seen this girl stand. And a funny feeling came over my chest. I thought it was a heart attack, but it was love. That's true. That's how it affects you. And you know, I was real romantic. I am real romantic. And I always, a lot of you men, you fish with, and you mean you go after the girls with milk tray. I always used polo mints. And I had this wee notion, and I says, would you like a polo man? And you know, all polite and all, yes. And so I was sitting talking to her and chatting to her and all the rest of it. And I says, telling me this, dear, could I leave you home? And she says, no. That's true. You see, she was blind to beauty. She was. But the Lord was merciful because he opened her eyes. And on exactly the 9 months later, the 4th of December, 1988. You know, it's very hard to ask a friend. She turned me down, but we're still good friends. We met up in good friends. It's very hard to ask a good friend to wait again. Especially when you turn down the first time. But the second time, I says, now here's my chat up line. I don't know whether you use this or not, Lawrence. You'll tell me, Leslie, won't you? And I says, Tracy, I'm stepping out in faith here. Will you go out with me? And you know something? Before I drew breath, she said yes. Well, that's understandable enough then, isn't it? And in one month, the first day of January, I asked her to marry me. And like a shot, she said yes. You see, that's one thing about Tracy. She knew a good thing when she seen it. And then we talked about going out to get the engagement ring. Any young fellas in here, if you have a notion of getting engaged, listen, it's an embarrassing caper. And it's very costly. Very costly. And we decided to go out this Saturday to look about the engagement ring. And she says, where do you think we'll go? And she said, what about Dungannon? And I says, no, definitely not Dungannon, for I'm too well known in Dungannon. Well, go to Banbridge. No, she says, I'm too well known from Banbridge. She was from Guildford, you see. She says, what about Lisburn? Lisburn, we'll go to Lisburn. Neutral ground. Go to Lisburn. And we walked into this jeweler's shop, and the place was bung, packed. Now, how am I going to talk to this man about engagement rings? Because, you know, people's very nosy. They're very nosy. And I walked up, because as soon as you mention engagement ring, you know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to turn around and talk about you. They tell me that they're like that in Ballymena. Oh. And anyway, I get up to the counter. We were getting up to the counter, and here we were. Can I help you? I says, and I looked round at the wife, and she looks up at me, and this is true, Bill. We burst out laughing, and we ran out of the jeweler's shop. True, Bill. And you know, my Tracy, oh, she's not so slow. And I says, Tracy, I can't go in there. I'm not going to let her off that. She says, she turns up and she says to me, if you love me, you will. He says, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to another one. Went to another jeweler's shop. And she looked in through the window and she spied the ring. And we walked in, and thankfully there wasn't many there. And I got the wee man on his own, and I says, want a wee duke at the engagement rings. Oh, and where's the lovely lady? I says, that's her there. Can you not tell her? Can't tell her. She's blessed. She's happy. She's smiling. And called her over. Was there anything in mind, dear? Was there anything you fancied at all? Yes, row 3, tray D in the window. You never forget them things, believe you me. And he went and he got the tray, and he brought us into this wee corner of the jeweler's shop where there was this velvet curtain that was like been brought into the holiest of holies. And he brought us down, he brought us in, where there was one seat, and he gave her the seat. And I was left standing. And he took out the ring, and she was into it like a magpie on the finger. Oh, look at that ring, isn't that lovely? Lovely. And he gets the black velvet out, and he puts the hand all down. And you know the old soft soap talk of them. He says, oh, that's a lovely ring. You wouldn't suit any other ring. What do you think, George? And I was footing about to see what the price tag said. He says, there's a brave price. I says, that's an awful price. You know what he said to me? Plays on your emotions, these boys. He says, if you love her, you would pay any price for her. So I out of the back pocket, got the notes out, first of all, counted all out, got the silver out, whatever lot of coppers I could get, and had enough, just got enough. And we left that day, the wee jeweller's shop, her high as a kite, and me penniless and broke. That's true. That's true. I want to take you to a cross now. I want to take you to a cross. And I want you to get a good look at what real love looks like. And I want you to see tonight the Son of God crucified. By the hands and by the feet, crucified to that cross. Bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place and your sinner friend. Condemned he stood. And tonight, if that's not love, well, I don't know what love is. Because on Calvary's cross, he was taking the burden of your heart tonight, and that's sin. And he bore your sin on that old rugged cross. And you know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He stayed on that old rugged cross until God opened the floodgates of his righteous wrath and the fires of God's wrath fell upon him and engulfed him. Because the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes are we healed tonight. Don't tell me that God doesn't love you. Calvary spells it tonight. God loves you. And you know, friend, on that cross he hung for six long, lonely hours. And in the darkness and in the depths, he cried, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Does this not touch your heart tonight? To think that the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you so that you could be saved from your sin, so that you could be saved from going to hell, so much so that he could give you eternal life, so much so that he can take you to heaven. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. And friend, on that old, rugged, blood-stained cross, love in all its fullness gave itself for you and for me. A man called Billy McFadden was a Lurgan man. But after fighting the Great War, he did. And on the morning of the Battle of the Somme, Billy McFadden was climbing up one of his comrades was climbing up a slippery, muddy bank. And his friend pulled the pin of a grenade to throw it, but it slipped and fell and rolled down the bank into the box of grenades that was there. And Billy McFadden, do you know what he did? He threw himself on that box of grenades and blew himself to smithereens. And as a result, every man around him was saved. And Jesus went to the cross and stood the fires of God's wrath and God's judgment and God's punishment so that you could be saved tonight. That's how much he loves you. Son of God, love me. Gave himself for me. There's something I want to leave with you tonight. I want you to listen with two ears. You can't deny this tonight. None of us will be here forever. None of us. Because none of us is going to escape death if the Lord tarries. None of us. Unsaved friend, that's you tonight. It's appointed unto men once to die. And someday if you die, when you die, God is going to ask you one question. One question. Do you know what it's going to be? I believe. What did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? My son that I sent to the cross for you. What did you do? How do you answer? I told them yesterday, as I preached from the text, what shall I do then with Jesus? I told them at a funeral service, what you do with Jesus in life will determine what he will do with you in death and in eternity. But tonight, I'm closing and I'm finishing with this thought. He loves you tonight. You might have spurned him and rejected him 1,000 times to this moment. He still loves you tonight. He loves you. Loves you tonight with outstretched arms. He loves you. But tonight, will you receive his love? Will you reject his love? That's the thing. He loves you tonight. That's precious. He loves you. What will you do? Now, what will you do with the one who loved you and gave himself for you?